Good Wednesday. Today is January the 7th, and you're listening to My Farm. We're going to take a look at phosphite, not phosphate, but phosphite, something that is naturally occurring and that has multiple benefits to our plants, one of those being a natural occurring fungicide in the soil. We'll have the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look at your agricultural news, I came across an interesting article by Jim Horman with Horman Soil Health Services talking about natural fungicides. He says farmers struggle with two major types of fungal pathogens. First are those soil-borne pathogens, which thrive on newly planted crops, especially in cold, wet soils planted early in the growing season. Second, he said, are the foliar leaf pathogens, which generally affect plants later in the growing season. So he took some time to discuss the use of phosphite, that's a natural soil fungicide and biostimulant for early season soil fungal control and fast plant growth. Now, Horman says the difference between phosphite and phosphate is that phosphate is an atom of phosphorus with four oxygens attached. Phosphates are what plants take up and use for the majority of their plant nutrition. They're very stable. It's used in the plant cell wall, in DNA, and RNA, and for energy transfer. Now, the downside of phosphate is that it may raise water quality concerns when it leaves the soil. Phosphite, however, is an atom of phosphorus only with three oxygens. It is more mobile in both the soil and the plant, but highly reactive, so it gets tied up very quickly. Now, phosphite acts like a natural fungicide, suppressing many soil fungi, but it also acts like a biostimulant, increasing early root growth, leading to healthier stems and more leaf growth. Phosphite is the reduced form of phosphate, and its highly reactive nature allows it to be beneficial to plant growth, both as a fungicide and a biostimulant. It's also natural and not harmful to humans, animals, or plants. Now, some reports say phosphite can also be a fertilizer. However, most reports say it should not replace phosphate fertilizer. Horman thinks both statements can be true depending on the soil conditions. First, he says, do not rely on phosphite for your total phosphorus fertilizer. Under just the right conditions, phosphite could be oxidized to form phosphate in warm, well-aerated soils, but in cold, wet soils and reducing conditions, it is not a plant nutrient. Now, as a natural fungicide, phosphite allows plant roots to control soil-borne pathogens such as Phytophthora, Pythium, Fusarium, Rhizoctonia, Anthracnose, Sclerotinia, which is white mold in soybeans, and powdery mildew. On alfalfa, phosphite allows it to help with crown rot. It does not kill pathogens, it just suppresses them. To work effectively, phosphite can be applied in furrow at planting to suppress the fungi and later as a foliar feed. Now, he says the phosphite must enter the plant's xylem, that's the water-conducting vascular system, to work effectively. He said there it enhances early root growth, leading to healthier and thicker stalks and more leaves. It's a preventative product. It cannot heal or cure fungal disease that has already occurred. It also shows no activity against foliar leaf disease that occurs later in the growing season, only against the soil pathogens. Now, Horman says usually phosphite is applied as potassium phosphite, but other forms, including calcium and magnesium phosphite, are out there. Phosphite has been used on lawns and turfs for over 50 years, but now farmers are starting to use it in corn, soybeans, and hay, as well as some in vegetables, as a natural fungicide and biostimulant. One other factor, he said, phosphite stimulates and activates the plant's natural defense systems called a systemic acquired resistance, or SAR, that helps plants prepare their defense against future fungal pathogen attacks. Usually phosphite remains active in the plant for 60 days, so for best results, he says two applications, either in furrow as the first application, followed by a later foliar application, are typically recommended. One form of phosphite sold on the market is Xylem Plus. It's a potassium-based phosphite with seven phosphite molecules in the chain. He said it suppresses disease in the soil and plant and activates the SAR, or that natural defense system network. It promotes early growth both in corn and soybeans. He said, though, two problems occur for farms with phosphite application, especially on soybeans. First, not many drills are set up for soil-applied natural fungicide at planting, and that can be partially compensated by applying phosphite early with the herbicide and again right when the soybean plant forms its first trifoliate. He said the second problem is that phosphite works and should be applied per row foot. That means 15 and 30-inch soybeans require less product than beans that are drilled at 7.5-inch spacing. The product has to protect the newly planted seed and germinating root right at the source. So again, it can be applied as a foliar spray with the herbicide, yielding similar results. Results, though, vary depending year-to-year, weather, soil conditions, pathogen populations, soil structure. But he said it does seem to increase yield anywhere from 10 to 30 bushels on corn, 5 to 10 or more bushels on soybeans, and also has an impact on alfalfa. He said the application rates vary anywhere from 24 to 32 ounces per acre per application, with generally, again, 2 applications per year. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We want to take another look at that FBA, the Farmer Bridge Assistance Program, as continued tightening of margins for row crop growers is what was sort of driving the ad hoc assistance programs that have been released recently. USDA's Rod Bain and USDA Chief Economist Seth Meyer tell us more.
For crop producers,
margins have narrowed really rapidly over the last couple of years. And I think that that's put a lot of stress on the crop side of the balance for farm income.
Due to a combination of factors, according to former Agriculture Department Chief Economist Seth Meyer, this led USDA to introduce various ad hoc assistance programs for row crop growers in 2025, including...
Into the coming year, we're talking about bridge payments, which I think the Secretary has described as a method to get us to the safety net programs of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, ARC and PLC payments in the fall.
Meyer says such payments need to be factored in by producers in 2026 when it comes to
their overall bottom line and cash flow,
along with the usual considerations such as inputs, weather, and demand for whatever commodity producers choose to plant. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.